what happens next after the special event. Hi, I'm Bill Stanjakiewicz. This is the first day from the Fundraising School, and I'm joined today by Jamila Trammell. She is the founding CEO of Ladies of Virtue, and I had the privilege of serving alongside Jamila as she is named one of the top Black changemakers in the United States by PepsiCo. And Jamila, thanks so much for being with us on the Fundraising School's podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Part of our conversation involved fundraising through special events. And the way that Ladies of Virtue has significant follow-up after the special event is something that our audience can learn from. But before we get into those details, what is Ladies of Virtue?
Yeah, so Ladies of Virtue is all about empowering our girls to become confident and purpose-driven leaders. So we do that in three ways: character development, career readiness, and civic engagement. We serve girls ages 9 to 18, and we continue to mentor and support them up to the age of 24. And we're located right here in Chicago, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get at. Headquartered right there in Chicago, the Windy City. And Jamila, how do fundraising events fit into the overall fundraising plan for Ladies of Virtue? Are the special events responsible for all of your fundraising, part of your fundraising? How are they part of the fundraising strategy?
Yeah, so we have an annual event called Leading with Virtue Cocktail Reception. And, you know, in the beginning, oh my God, this was like half, 50% of our budget. And so now it's anywhere between 10 and 20% of our overall budget, but it's still a critical event for us, not only because we're raising funds. We typically raise about $200,000 each year. And but it's not just about raising money. It's also about building just more individuals and relationships within our network. So.
And so at the special event, is there a price of admission? Are you making a request during the event? Are you having an auction? How is this $200,000 raised through the event?
Yes. So a number of different ways. Number one is our corporate sponsors. So we're actually about to start that now, that process now, in terms of getting those sponsorship documents out. There's some corporations that have been with us since the beginning. And so we're depending on them yet again to either meet or exceed their sponsorship from last year, right? So that's the primary driver. But then as we get closer to the event, the secondary driver are those individual donations. And so ticket prices range from $75 to $125. This year, we're going to just have the one ticket price, probably just going to be the $150, just $150. So we're increasing slightly, but just one price across the board. And then last year, we did not do auction items, but we're going to bring that back as well so that we can secure even more funding at the event.
And Jamila, during the event, do you then make a request from the stage, from the platform, in addition to what people have paid for admission? How does that work?
Yes. So we use the GiveButter platform. And at the event, they have a really cool new feature where at the event, you can put it on the screen. And then the MC is rallying everybody up to say, okay, we need 2,000 more. And so at the event, we raised about, I would say, another 5,000. Just from at the MC just saying like, hey, we're trying to get this number higher and higher. So that was incredible to see, because that was our first time doing that part. But we use the GiveButter platform to showcase that revenue increase.
So significant corporate sponsorship, charging admission, now $150 per person, and then a big exciting crescendo exclamation point at the end to encourage people to donate some more. But then your work is just getting started. What follow-up work, what stewardship do you do with the people who attended, the people who attended and donated, the people who attended maybe didn't donate additional? What does that ongoing relationship look like after your special event?
Absolutely. So one thing we haven't talked about yet is that we have a host committee. So there's about 20 people on our host committee that, if I, you know, it's not just me, you know, doing this work. Actually, when it was just me, I only raised 40,000. So not to say that that's not great, but to go from 40 to over 200,000 really lets you know that it's the power of the team behind Ladies of Virtue that allows us to accomplish our goal. So we have about 20 people on the host committee. Of course, that includes our board as well, because I include everybody all in one. And so after the event, we do a couple of things. The first is the host committee, because the host committee, they're executives from across the city as well, right? So we have a lunch with them immediately after, well, within about 3 to 4 weeks after the event. One, to thank them for their service, to secure their participation for next year, to hear their feedback so that we know how to improve as well. And then we also talk to them about future opportunities within Ladies of Virtue. And so we've had host committee members who now will, you know, later to be announced, you know, you're the first, but we have a host committee member that's now going to be on our board. So that really, she's been on our host committee for like 3 years now, 3 or 4 years. So, you know, we look at that host committee as like our number one way to, because they're helping to raise money. And so we're stewarding that relationship. The second group are honorees. So our honorees are typically high-powered women from across the city, right? So you don't just want to say, oh, we just honored you, see you later, but we bring them into the fold. So we're having, I have personally one-on-one meetings with them. I'm sending them emails to thank them. It was great honoring them. And then I also invite them into site visits and things like that throughout the year, because many of them, as I mentioned, are executives from their different corporations. So we invite them or someone that they deem, you know, will be great to have into our network. We ask, can you come or someone else to a site visit or community outreach or so forth? Then I also host like a virtual meeting just over Zoom, just for those who are either major donors or honorees or host committee members, whoever would like to learn more about Ladies of Virtue. I host a meeting or, you know, just an event. It's really just a Zoom call just for me to provide an overview of Ladies of Virtue and then how you can get involved. That's how we got two of our current board members that are currently on. One, we have several that were honorees in the past and now they're board members for this very same thing that I'm talking about, just continuing to invite them to different things. And now this is a new thing we're doing, two new things that we're doing this year is that we just launched a monthly giving campaign. So those individuals, including those that donated to our fundraiser, if it was less than 600, we're reaching out to them to say, hey, for this year, can you donate $25 a month? So that's how we're continuing to steward those that may not have given. Usually in the past, we only really target those that donated quite a bit for the fundraiser, for the stewardship. But now we're trying to figure out how can we engage those that donated 500 or 600 or even less than that so that we can continue to engage them throughout the year. And then finally, I'll just mention is that we are also doing, we're launching an event called the State of the Black Girl Brunch. That's going to be on Juneteenth this year. And so we're engaging those donors, those major donors from the fundraiser to attend this event. It's not a fundraising event. It's really more of an intimate networking event because we're asking those donors from the fundraiser, can you bring your friends so that they can learn more about Ladies of Virtue?
And celebrate those young women while you build relationships with those current and new partners.
Exactly. The key is to develop a pipeline for our annual event and even just a pipeline for major donors moving forward. And so our honorees really were a driving force for us because they were so high-powered executives across the Chicagoland area. They were oftentimes plug us into future grant opportunities, future sponsorship opportunities, future career explorations. And so we're thinking about how do we create more of those pipelines? And then honorees also serve on our board. So that was an incredible pipeline for us. But how do we create more of those pipelines to generate more funding for our organization? That's really what we're the question that we're answering.
So the special event for Ladies of Virtue is wonderful, amazing, extraordinary, important in and of itself. And it previously raised $40,000, now raising about $200,000. But then Jamila, with her ongoing stewardship, we hear all of these benefits, attracting new people to the host committee, attracting new people to the board of directors, attracting new partners, attracting new donors. Jamila, could you please describe for us, what does that ongoing stewardship after the event, so not just the event itself, but after the event, what has that meant for fundraising for Ladies of Virtue?
Yeah, so now we are at a $1.5 million budget now. And so we, you know, and that's why I said I really credit that fundraiser to serve as that pipeline for new opportunities. So one thing that we're doing now throughout the years, creating more engagement opportunities, because one thing that we noticed was that we would have the big event in November. There would be some stewardship activities for the next like 3 months. And then they wouldn't hear from us again until the upcoming, until it's time to ask for more sponsorship dollars for the upcoming event. So what we're doing now throughout the year is having more engagement events. So I talked about the State of the Black Girl Brunch. That's not a fundraiser. That's just an engagement event. We have monthly site visit opportunities where, like we just had one a few weeks ago, where our girls led an event called Black Girl Rest. And it's the ultimate self-care experience for teens. Our girls led that event. And so we invited those corporate sponsors from the fundraiser, as well as some other major donors, to come and see our girls in action. Because what we don't want is for them to just feel like, you know, we're just engaging at the end of the year. So the site visits, we're also inviting them for volunteer opportunities. And so we just had one in February for Black History Month. Our next one is in April. It's called Love Give Back Day. Gives Back Day, where employers, you know, donors from the event, corporate partners and so forth can come and pack over 500 care packages for the homeless. And so then there's a number of events this summer where they could come in to serve on panel discussions as well as career explorations. So we have embedded events, not just the last 3 months of the year, but now it's literally pretty much every month or every other month, we have an engagement activity so that they can see more of what we do.
And just doing some simple math in my head, Jamila mentioned the fundraiser started at 40,000. It was 30 to 50% of the organization's budget. It's now 200,000, and that's 10 to 20% of the organization's budget. Algebra tells us that means the budget is growing, even right. though the amount from the event is growing. It's a smaller percentage overall. And the stewardship activities, a big reason why. Jamila, I'm curious, what are you hearing from your corporate partners? What are you hearing from your donors? You're increasing your outreach to them. You're communicating with them more often. You're inviting them to more visits, seeing the young women in action, as you said, your participants in action, you know, inviting them to events that aren't fundraisers. Are they saying, leave me alone, enough already, I get it? Or is the reaction different?
No, the reaction is twofold. One, they love being invited. Do they come every time? No, right? Because they're busy. But they love being invited because they see what we have going on. And then we send pictures after the event. And even though they did not, even if they did not attend, we still send pictures and newsletters and so forth. But another thing that I hear is, wow, I did not realize you were doing so much. That's something I'm starting to hear a lot, because we oftentimes talk about the 600 girls that are enrolled in our mentoring and leadership program. What we don't talk a lot about, and which is what I'm starting to use as my talking points, are the 1,500 girls that we serve just from like the one day outreach initiative. So we have Love Day, the conference that I just told you about, the Black Girl Rest Ultimate Self-Care Experience for Girls. That was 175 girls that came to that event. It was one day, but that was an incredible impact, because we had mental health workshops, we had healthy eating workshops, we had reproductive care workshops and things of that sort. And so what we're hearing from the partners are like, wow, you know, did not even realize. I just actually talked to a funder who invited me to their board meeting this morning. So this is exactly what I heard today was, wow, I did not know that you all did so much, was number one. And they did not know that we continue to support our graduates up to the age of 24. So those are the things that I hear. So definitely not like, you know, what you just mentioned in terms of don't invite me or it's too many invites. It's more like, hey, continue to invite me. I may only come a couple times a year, but I want to be included. And then when they come or they see pictures, it's like, wow, I didn't even realize you were doing this.
Building a deeper relationship over time, spending more time Absolutely. With people, we're able to share more information. And even if they're not able to attend, Ladies of Virtue is in their inbox and staying top of mind. Jamila, as we conclude here, I'd like to ask you to share some advice, please, for fundraisers, especially if they have a CEO or a board member who says, well, just have a special event. You know, that's the cure all of everything. And what your story is showing is special events are useful. They can be productive. They can increase fundraising. But for you, special event is just one day out of 365 days. You're using the rest of the year to steward the people who attend. What advice would you have for other fundraisers when conversations about special events are happening at their nonprofits?
Yeah, so I will say this is a journey, because initially our cocktail reception was the end all be all. It was it, because we needed that general operating funding, because as you know, we could get a grant agreement in February, but we may not see the funding until July. So having that the influx of much needed cash to continue to keep those lights on, continue to support the salaries and things like that, it was like, we need this special event to keep going. And what it's evolved to, and it's to your point, what it's evolved to is realizing that it's not just about this one day. It's about building longer term relationships. It's about a pipeline, so bringing new folks into our the fold or into our network. And it's also something that we've been very intentional about, which is where we have to push back against others who just want to spend on decorations and spend on this. We have a profit every time. So a lot of people talk about how much they raise, but then when you look at the expenses, you know, next thing you know, you're in the red because you've overspent on food or the space or what have you. So we always have a healthy profit as well. So that would be one advice, is I've had to shut a lot of ideas down in a respectful way, sure, because I needed to make sure that if we raise $200,000, I need to see 150 of that. If we raise $100,000, I need to see 70 or 80,000 of that. 70,000 or 80,000 of that. And so a lot of times people don't realize their idea is going to cost me another $10,000. And I'm not exaggerating. So that's pretty much the biggest one of the, that's point number one for me would be, make sure you're profiting from these events. And it sounds self-explanatory. It's not. So many people are losing money or have a very low profit margin. And then number two, the follow-up game that we just talked about has to be strong in terms of following up with, if you have honorees or any dignitaries at your event, making sure you follow up with them so that you can include them, let them be a part of your organization, inspire them to be a part of your organization moving forward. So definitely follow up. And then number three would be the engagement throughout the year. Don't make the mistake that I did in the past in terms of just engaging that one day or even just a few weeks after, but really thinking about how can you invite them and incorporate them and engage them throughout the year so that they can tap in when they are able to, and then we'll want to continue to support.
Great advice. Jamila Truel is the founder and CEO of Ladies of Virtue, doing important work transforming the lives of young Black women in Chicago and telling that story to donors, first through a special event and then throughout the year in a way that has significantly increased their fundraising and their budget and therefore their ability to do even more and to impact and transform even more lives serving alongside these young women. And this, Jamila's description just really captures the best way to utilize special events in our fundraising, not just as a one-day event, but as a way to introduce, welcome, build, and maintain relationships with donors throughout the year. This is what we teach on our Principles and Techniques of Fundraising class, as well as our Fundraising for Small Nonprofits course. And it's the example of the type of curriculum we have throughout our 24 courses that lead to 4 different certificates in 8 cities across the United States. And we can also bring training just to your nonprofit, your region, your association, through an institutional host, like a community foundation, for example, either these courses or parts of courses that we can tailor just for you through our custom training. We have quarterly webinars, we have these weekly podcasts, and of course, all of our teaching gathered in Achieving Excellence in Fundraising, the 5th edition. You can get all this on our website at philanthropy.iupui.edu/The Fundraising School. So grateful to Jamila Truel for being with us as our guest today in a podcast produced by Mike Anthony and Jennifer Boffman. I'm Bill Stanjakovich. Now you are now more fully informed on this first day from the Fundraising School.